Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for episode 194 of the Weddings for Real podcast. In this episode, I'm answering all your questions, from everything on how to determine your next hire to how to tell if you've reached burnout. I promise to keep it real with you, as always, by sharing some of the struggles I still encounter as a 12-year entrepreneur in our industry, and I'm even going to share some insider insight on what it looks like to sell a business. So buckle up and let's jump into episode 194, where I'll cover 7 Ask Me Anything questions that you submitted. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert, it takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings, for real. Okay, friends, in today's Ask Me Anything episode, I'll be covering the following 7 questions. Number 1, what's something you still struggle with as an entrepreneur? What makes you, as a wedding planner, want to refer another wedding pro, and what makes you not want to? Ooh, this is going to be a juicy one. Number 3, how do I determine who I should hire next? Number 4, what advice would you give to a wedding pro relocating to a new market? Number 5, how do you know if you're going through burnout or just a season of being overly busy? Number 6, what does it look like to sell a business? And number 7, what's one thing I should be doing right now to prep for engagement season? Now, if you're just joining me as a new listener, first off, thanks for tuning in. I'm a former wedding planner of 12 years turned full-time business coach and educator for wedding pros. And on this podcast, I make it my goal to share relatable, actionable business advice and insights that's going to help you build a more profitable business with less overwhelm and less hustle. I like to keep it real, hence the name of the podcast, and I tend to avoid the fluff because I know that's not going to help you get where you want to next. Now, if you're one of my longtime listeners, I also want to thank you for helping us reach almost 200 episodes over a 4-year period of time and over 250,000 downloads. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Question number 1 that was submitted is, what's something you still struggle with as an entrepreneur? The answer to this is that 12 years in, I still say yes to too many things. I refer to myself as a recovering people pleaser, and it's something that I'm continuously trying to pay attention to and work on, but I definitely am also known for underestimating projects. So I identify with being this visionary of my business, and I have all of these big ideas and things I want to bring to life. And oftentimes I overcommit to projects and things that I want to bring to life and underestimate the time commitment that it's going to take to do. And I think that that's something that is common as creative entrepreneurs in our industry. But what happens is when I overcommit myself or members of my team to projects or things that I've said yes to that we're going to bring to life, and I underestimate how long and the commitment that it's going to take to do that, it leads to overwhelm and feelings of inadequacy. It kind of goes back to a reference that I've made here on the podcast before, where it's like playing a game of Tetris, if y'all remember that old school game, where you have to move the pieces around and then the pieces start falling faster. And sometimes for me, I think I find myself getting to that game over. The pieces have reached the top, the game is over, and that's typically when I've really get to a breaking point of realizing, okay, I need to pause. I need to take a moment. I need to start saying no to things that I wish I could do, but I know that don't fit into my life right now. And the way that I've tried to avoid getting to that game over spot so quickly is by creating space on my calendar to look at what is actually on my radar for the next month, 60 days, 90 days, and ask myself, is this realistic? Are there certain weeks that I can see already that I'm set up for failure? And is there anything that I can do to alleviate that? So hopefully for those of you that also have trouble saying no, underestimate the time that certain things will take. Hopefully hearing that it's the pause and the time to look at things instead of going full speed ahead 24/7 is the way that you start to unravel some of those habits. Question number two is, what makes you as a wedding planner want to refer another wedding professional, and what makes you not want to refer them? Whew, I love this question. And here's where I want to start. I want to start with the hard and fast reasons why I would not refer a wedding professional. If I've worked with a wedding pro on an event before, here are the reasons I would not be referring them again. Number one, incredibly slow response times. And I know right now that there are so many wedding professionals out there that are trying to manage their client workload, book new business to pay their bills, and they're still recovering from an overabundance of leads and weddings for 2022. But when I have had to stop what I'm doing, reach out multiple times, it's slowing down my process, slowing down my response times, and it's making it feel like I'm having to chase after this professional. And it creates a sense of distrust, and it makes my job harder, which is not great. Another reason would be unprofessional attire. So my take on this is that we as wedding pros are showing up to someone's one of the most important days of their life, typically one of the more formal events that they will ever have. And it's on us to dress the part. So when I see wedding professionals show up and be way too casual for someone's wedding day, I don't love that at all. A few other things that tie into unprofessionalism as a professional would be drinking on the job, going through the food stations or buffet before guests have without prior communication with the planner, not reading the timeline or just not even following the timeline, going rogue with the timeline, anything that just throws off the timing of the day is super stressful for a planner. A few more things, making inappropriate comments or throwing another vendor under the bus, showing up late more than once without a great reason and clearly hasn't read the timeline. I've also worked with professionals that seem disengaged, like they don't even want to be there. They're hiding out in the vendor room during moments when they probably should be out doing their job. And then finally, if a wedding professional does not deliver on the contract, so the things that they have committed to for the client, those are hard and fast reasons why I would not want to refer that pro again. And to be honest, if I haven't worked with a wedding pro and they reach out to get on my preferred list as their first point of contact, well, I really don't love this either. And I'm not sure of any vendor that does. Now, I have a really good episode on this that details out ways to get your foot in the door when you're looking to make intentional relationships with another wedding pro. I want you to check out episode 47 for a deep dive into this topic. But in general, your goal is to deposit proverbial coins into a relationship bank with someone before asking anything of them. Now, these coins could be supporting, following them on social media, sharing their work, attending their open houses, doing some research on them, and asking if there's anything you can do to support their business. This is what opens doors versus a cold email intro with a link to your website. Okay, moving on to question number three. How do I determine who I should hire next? First, I want you to ask yourself, are there things in my business right now that need and should come off of my plate for me to be able to, one, be the visionary in my business and create additional offerings or revenue streams to help my business continue to evolve? And two, are there things that I need to stop doing so that I can stop drowning in my to-do list? You also want to ask yourself if your current goal for your business is to be able to take on more events with less requiring you to be the point person, or if you want to raise your pricing, limit the number of events that you're taking on, and have a more boutique style approach to your business. Now, a couple things I want you to know when it comes to hiring. I am a big fan of starting off with micro commitments to building my team. This comes from learning from my earlier mistakes when it comes to hiring. What this means is that you don't have to hire someone full-time on your team when you decide you need help. You can start small and build from there. I've done this successfully several times in both of my businesses. Now, what this could look like is hiring a part-time assistant for 5 to 10 hours a week to help take things off of your plate. You could also ask this person to assist you on weekends if they're local. Now, this position works really well for eager candidates looking to get their foot in the door in the events industry, but likely have a full-time job that has a semi-flexible schedule in another industry. Teachers, nurses, nannies, social workers all have great skill sets that translate well into our industry. So to recap, First, I want you to ask yourself, what are the things that could come off of your list and onto someone else's plate that don't align with your innate superpowers? Then I want you to create that job description and make a plan to post it to see what kind of candidates you get in. Question number 4, what advice would you give to a wedding pro relocating to a new market? Okay, this is a great question as well, and I've got a couple actionable steps for you. Step number 1 would be make sure that you have testimonials from your current venues and wedding pros in your market. Not just from past clients, it's going to be important that you have these testimonials from wedding pros as well, because you're going to want these for marketing purposes. And the way that I recommend you use these is by putting together a brochure of information about your business and using some of these testimonials. And before you use that, I want you to focus on doing some research on your new market and determining 20 to 30 vendors. I recommend going with 5 per category. So 5 photographers, 5 florists, 5 venues, 5 whatever other categories that you can think of that you want to include, that you want to show some love to and engage with on social media. This would also work well for my answer to question number 2, where I talked about getting your foot in the door with a vendor that you haven't worked with before. So you want to do your research, make that list of 20 to 30 vendors. You can keep that note on your phone and then find ways to support those businesses by sharing their information, showing up at their events, liking and commenting on their stories or on social media, just in general. This is so helpful. After you've done this for about 2 weeks, then is the time to reach out for a virtual or in-person coffee date. And in that coffee date, remember that your job is to be curious about them and more interested in getting to know them than making it all about you. And then the final step is that after that coffee chat, that's when you send that follow-up thank you within a day or two and include that brochure that talks about your service offerings, includes testimonials from other wedding pros, and offers to collaborate on something. This could be a styled shoot. This could be an open house. If you're a photographer or a makeup artist, this could be providing your services at no charge for them and their team. You get to choose what you want to offer and what you think might be of value to them and also still work for you. But this is a really great way to start branching into a new market, or if you're relocating your current business, with a focus on building those relationships first before asking for business. Question number 5, how do you know if you're going through burnout or just a season of being overly busy? Well, first off, thanks so much for asking this question, because I think this is something that a lot of wedding pros right now are struggling with. And I think it can be hard to tell because we're all busy right now, but there is a big difference to me between being busy and being in complete and utter burnout. And to be honest, I would say that being busy for an extended period of time is you on the road to burnout and overwhelm. So if you have found yourself in that state of busy, feeling overwhelmed, you know that you're burning the candle at both ends, then that's probably a sign that you may be heading towards burnout. To me, when you're really busy for a season, you are excited for the growth of your business, but you might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed on certain days here and there. There are some days where you're going to have those WTF moments, but it is not a 24/7 feeling when you think about your business. In a season of being busy, you know that there's a sense of relief coming and that there are shifts that you have to make to get out of this season, but it doesn't feel like you are treading water while someone is pouring water over your head and you're drowning every single day. On the other hand, burnout feels more intense. It's a sense of dread that doesn't go away with time. It's an annoyance at most of your clients, and not just one or two PIA clients, it's all of them. It's that sense of when a new inquiry comes in, you're not excited about it. You're actually anxious about it. Maybe it also feels like you're snapping at those that you love in your life over small things, and you just have a sense of general resentment towards your business and wanting to escape it. For some of you, it may feel like anxiety from the moment that you wake up and that you can never get caught up and you can never please everyone. And if you're feeling that way, you're feeling that description of burnout that I described, I want you to know that I've been there too, and I have some helpful tips. For me, the season of burnout was around 2016 to 2018, and I had those exact feelings that I described above. So what I did to get out of it was a few things. One, I set boundaries initially with myself on events that I would take. I stopped being available for every package offering. I stopped being the first person that my clients would book, and I started to learn how to sell my team a little bit more and add to my team. The second thing that I did was I reorganized the roles of the people that I did have on my team. Now, I've had a very small team for years. It's never been more than 5 to 6 people on my team. But even when it was just a few of us, I made a point to set boundaries with my team and help clearly define who was responsible for what roles on the team instead of me having to wear all the hats. So if you're listening to this right now and it's just you on your team, I want you to go back to the question that I answered above about who to hire next and start looking at the things that must stay with you as the business owner and what are the things that it may truly be time to delegate and outsource to. The third thing I did was I had a truly honest conversation with my husband, Jason, and I learned to ask for more help and asked for him to be more involved in the day-to-day household tasks and managing our life outside of work. That's something that we've had to revisit as our lives have gotten even busier, so it's not something that you just check the box on and move on from. It's still something that we have to have a discussion on and be transparent about. But it was something that I truly had to learn to ask for help instead of just carrying that resentment inside. And the fourth thing I did was I hired a business coach. And if you've listened to the podcast for some time, you've probably heard me talk about how pivotal that moment in my career was. I went so many years trying to figure it out all on my own. It was exhausting. It was overwhelming. I questioned everything. And I can't tell you how much having that outside perspective, someone that had built something successful, that had walked part of the path that I had walked before, and could turn around and look at my business and look at me and say, hey, I see where you're trying to go. And it didn't have to be exactly where that person was, but they could say, hey, I see where you're trying to go. And I want to help you not trip over this root there or not step into this quicksand that's coming up ahead. Instead, like take a few steps to the right, pause for a moment, recollect, and then go forward from there. That to me was what business coaching was. And it opened so many doors for what I was going to do next in my business that I truly feel that if I didn't have that guidance, I would not have made many of the moves that I made as I was coming out of that season of burnout. And that ties in so nicely to this question that was submitted about what does it look like to sell a business? This is question number 6. This is something that's come up ever since I started talking about selling my business this past summer on the podcast. I've had many of you reach out to me and ask me what this looked like and if I could give some action steps for this. So I wanted to make sure to touch on this question. Here are a few steps that I would recommend. First, you need to get a sense of what the valuation is of your business and what you could sell it for. I did this by talking to 3 different people. One, I talked to a former wedding planner who had sold her business, and she was willing to be transparent with me on how she came up with the valuation of her business. I also talked to an investor who regularly invests in businesses and gave me some insight into what that might look like to actually sell a business. And finally, I talked briefly with a representative from a company that will help you determine the valuation of your business, list it for sale, and handle that process for you. Based on those 3 conversations, I came up with a number that I was comfortable with selling my business for and move forward from there. Then I started having conversations. I kept it really light. I started first with my team and I sat down with them and I said, hey, here's where I'm at. I've had my business now for almost 11 years. I'm exploring what comes next, whether that is changing the dynamics of the team, whether that looks like taking steps to separate myself from the business and make space for someone else. And I don't quite know what direction I'm going to go in right now, but I just wanted to have a conversation with you and get a sense of your goals and what your next steps might look like with the company. I also reached out to a few local connections that I had identified as potential buyers and had conversations with them as well. Again, it was never as straightforward as, I'm definitely looking to sell my business and I want to know if you're interested. It was more just, hey, I'm having a conversation. I'm exploring options of what I might want to do with the business. over the next few years and just being open to conversations with others. And as some of you may know, I did end up selling the business to one of the members on my team. So that was the direction that I went. But there are sites that you can explore where you can list your business anonymously for sale if you have those conversations and you haven't come across someone that might be a good fit for buying it. But before you can truly make that move, you need to also ask yourself, what exactly are you selling when you sell your business? Is it the brand? Is it the website? Is it any office space that you have? Is it any leads? Is it what is in the bank account? What goes into the sale? And the really cool thing is that you, as a small business owner, get to determine what would work for you and what you want to include in the sale of your business. You also have to think about payment. Do you want the payment of the sale of your business to be in lump sum? Do you want them payments over time? What does that relationship look like? And all of that will be guided by working with a lawyer. So I hired a lawyer early on in the process, about a year before we actually sold the business. And they helped me draft a letter of intent with agreed upon purchase window of time for both parties, what the price was, what would be included in the sale of the business, what would happen if either party backed out. And we worked towards that over a year period of time, all without talking about it publicly until it was time to actually sign the contract and sell the business. If you have further questions about what it might look like to sell your business or you want to explore it further, do feel free to reach out to me, as I've had quite a few pros reach out and ask questions after my podcast about selling the business and what that looked like. And finally, the last question I want to answer that was submitted when we did this open call for questions is, what's one thing I should be doing to prep for engagement season right now? So if you're listening to this when this episode is coming out, it is the end of September and we are getting ready to head into engagement season in about a month. And I want you to take a moment and ask yourself, what do I not want to happen with my new clients that happened this year? What do I want to change for 2023 with the clients that I'm booking or the clients that are already on my schedule? Did this year include a lot of scope creep? Then it's probably time to adjust your package offerings and your contract clauses and verbiage to protect you. Did this year include a lot of high maintenance and needy clients? Well, then perhaps it's time to adjust your marketing to reach a different type of client, or adjust your communication in your onboarding and client workflow to ease your client's anxiety. Did this year include working too many weekends or drowning in work in general? And it might be time to raise your prices, reduce the number of clients you're working with, or hire team members to be able to support your growth. Did this year bring not enough clients, or maybe your business is growing too slow? Well, then it's time to take a moment and identify the bottleneck in where those leads are not coming in. Maybe it's your website, could be your verbiage. Maybe it's that you need to get out there and show your face a little bit more. Maybe it's time to put some strategy into how you're showing up on social media. Or maybe it's time to consider some paid advertising opportunities. Mainly what I want you to hear is that it's ideal right now to determine the biggest pain point in your business and put your efforts towards solving that problem. Not every problem, that problem, so you don't relive the same painful business learning lessons you encountered earlier this year. All right, y'all, that's it for episode 194. Thanks so much for spending time. Thanks so much for submitting such great questions. If you have a question that I did not answer in today's episode and you'd like to submit one, feel free to shoot me a DM. I'm at Weddings For Real, and I'd love to answer your question on my next Ask Me Anything episode. As always, I appreciate you so much for tuning in. This episode of the podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site, The Planner's Vault. That's it for now, and I'll see you next time on Weddings For Real.